Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. Guess what? It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Yeah, it is.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday, Brian.
Happy Monday to you.
How you doing, my friends?
I am actually very well rested because I beat the daylight savings time by going to bed at 9:15 no matter what. Now, was this a choice?
That'll usually do the trick.
You know, I like to frame it as a choice, but my body said, you know what, dude? You are done. We think it's 10:15, and you're going to bed now.
It's bedtime.
It was awesome. I am sporting my brand new shirt.
I don't know if that's the funk that's throwing me off, if it is daylight savings time or what, but it's definitely something, Brian. It's definitely something.
I can tell you that my new favorite shirt, I'm wearing it right now, and it is the Hulk.
Yeah, it's a very good one. Is that World War Hulk, or which Hulk is that?
Because
that
is large green Hulk smash.
It's a very battle tested Hulk. It looks like
that's more of a military build.
Yeah, very good looking T-shirt. Who got that for you?
Me.
There you go.
Saturday afternoon.
Pick that out for yourself.
Right before I went to Olive Garden with the daughter, because you know why? They have the best butter noodles in all of the world.
And that's
didn't know that.
I did not know that because that is not on the top of the priority list for what I order. But Brian,
better than any other noodle in all of the land.
We're one day away from this election, my friends.
Oh, there's an election happening.
Oh yeah,
too.
Right. We've got results coming in what? It's 2 p.m. now. 6 hours, 30 hours from now, we're gonna be having the polls will be closed, and we're gonna start getting some results here in the state of Wisconsin for the November midterm elections. And I have a feeling it's going to be close. I don't know what else to say other than it's going to be close.
Perhaps contested.
Perhaps. Some Republican candidates have said, well, they don't know if they can accept the results.
I don't know, but I can tell you that the Republicans are worried because they are sending out messages to everyone.
Oh, I've got text messages. I've got text messages from the GOP.
I have never gotten the GOP get out the vote message ever in my life. I've never seen the GOP get out the vote message. I have never seen them say anything other than at their closed rallies, you guys should all vote.
The rallies that, you know, they prevent the New York Times from being able to cover? Those rallies?
Whatever. They may or may not have said, you know, hey, please, you know, if we win, there's no Republican will ever lose. But that's fine.
Those rallies. It's going to be close, and we're going to get a closing argument and some of the final messages here with these last 30 hours from Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be joining us coming up in this next segment. But if you want to join us between now and then and the remainder of the show, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It's a Monday. We're a little discombobulated, so we're gonna continue to share some tangents with the headlines and talk to Sarah Rodriguez, current state lawmaker, running for lieutenant governor, and then get to some Wisconsin headlines too, Brian.
Yeah.
But you said that you had a question for me, and you said no spoilers alert, so I didn't get to know what it is ahead of time. Let's hear it.
It's going back to daylight savings time.
Okay.
If I hear one more person tell me that, oh, I don't know how to change my car stereo radio. I don't know how to change the stuff on my stove. It's so complicated. I can't figure. I will punch you in your stupid face. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. Like, it's not at this point. If you don't know how to, it's
you're just
you.
Not having it.
It's on you at this point. This is on you. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not some crazy engineer making some crazy decision to make it so hard. You press clock. You go and change it. Done.
See, I've been having a challenge with the clock here, because my take on it is I wish we could have permanent daylight savings time. If you've listened to When We Jump Forward, go check out that podcast of Dueling Tangents. You go to Civic Media, you can see the entire podcast library.
A lot of people are going to have mysterious heart attacks this week due to this situation.
Yeah.
But let's move on. We're talking about people with their clocks. This is very important
because people
complain about it all the freaking time.
The annoyance I have, Brian, is that there are so many clocks now in my life that do it automatically for me. And then you go through the day all day yesterday. I was just stumbling upon other clocks that didn't. And so it's just the confusion of looking at my watch that does automatically do it now, because I have one of the smart watches. So it does the time change.
I never thought I'd say this, Luke, but now I sometimes forget how young you are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But there are so many things that do it automatically, which brings me to my frustration. My frustration is there is a clock here in the office that is a analog clock. It is a standard, but it's automated to daylight savings time still. So it's been operating as if we were in daylight savings or out of daylight savings while we were still in daylight savings. So it kept resetting itself to be an hour behind what the time was. And everybody would come into my workspace and be like, you know your clock's an hour behind, right? And I was like, I've changed this clock 3 times to be the current time, and it keeps putting itself back. At midnight or 2 a.m., I would assume, is the time that it would kick back in. But at 2 a.m., it would reset back an hour every single time, trying to make up for fact that
even
it
on
thought,
the day that it's not?
Yes, because it is programmed right now to not...
Have you gone the other way?
But now that we're out of daylight savings time, it's fixed itself because it's just the regular time that it thought it was. So now I no longer have the annoyance of the analog clock that somehow fixes itself here in the office at the Civic Media Studios on Madison's Near West Side. Excuse me, the Solidarity Realty Studios, Civic Media's headquarters on Madison's Near West Side. So
I'm just glad that
I don't have to do the mental math every time I'm looking at this clock in the office now, because we are out of daylight savings time and it now accurately reflects what time it is throughout the day.
Luke, do you know how many things that this just informed as to issues that we've had over the last year or so that now that are filled in because your clock is off?
No. This is a new clock.
No, it's fine.
It's been...
I'm just going to live with this different time.
It's been probably about 6 weeks. It's a short-term problem. But
you may be a young man, but that's the most Wisconsin answer ever. It's always been this way. Let's just leave it and just adjust with the math rather than do something different
No, because I fixed it 3 separate times, Brian.
I know, but you didn't get a new clock is my point. You're like, this is the traditional clock. We've always had this clock here. I can't possibly move it or change
2 weeks ago, I had the realization that it just kept falling back, trying to go back out of daylight savings time. So 2 weeks ago, I just threw up the white flag and I said, you know what? In 2 weeks, it'll be fine. In 2 weeks, there won't be any more problems with this clock. So therefore, I'm just going to let it run its course. And now today is my first official workday with an accurate working clock in the office for the better part of the last 2 months. So first day that clock has represented truly what time it is over the last 2 months that we've had that clock. So.
It's the same clock we've had for 2 months. We can't possibly change it.
Exactly.
It's tradition now.
Exactly.
We do this every Tuesday.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor, State Representative Sarah Rodriguez, coming up in the next segment. But Brian, there's also... You know, we know that this race is going to be close. Marquette polling last week showed that it was neck and neck for the governor's race, and the U.S. Senate race was statistically still a tie. It was within the margin of error.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Johnson leading by 2 points in that poll released last week. But I'm still of the... I know you had a lot that you were working on last week, so we didn't get to do the show together those last couple days. But the premise of my last two shows, Thursday and Friday last week, I'm searching for... Where's this red wave? We've heard that this is supposed to be a fantastic year for Republican candidates. And you want to know where the former president of the United States is going to be campaigning in the closing days of before tomorrow's midterm? In the closing hours before tomorrow's midterm?
Where?
Ohio.
Yeah.
If this was such imagine if they lose... If Ohio doesn't go red tomorrow night, I have a feeling And that's going to be one of those races, Brian, because it's in the Eastern time zone. It's going to be, the polls will close there sooner than other places around the nation. And so Ohio will give a pretty good insight onto whether or not it's a red wave or a red mirage, because former President Donald Trump is stumping for Vance. And if you're telling me that if the former president has to shore up votes in Ohio, I don't think that's a red wave.
No.
They're spending money in Ohio, in Iowa, in North Carolina, all areas that Trump won. If it's a red wave, why is that where so many of the Republican groups and candidates are having to spend their money in the closing hours before the midterm election if this is a red wave?
I don't know, man. I've been like, I've gotten more mailers from the Republicans, like, desperately, and stuff like they're pulling out all the stops. They'll kill your children. They'll eat your wife. Like, Mandela Barnes will go and, you know, he's released criminals, and criminals will destroy everything, and everything's horrible, and blah 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 blah. Like, and they are desperately trying to get out the vote there, and I've never seen a get out the vote push. And I think it's funny because they asked me to go and possibly vote early as well. I've never ever seen Brian Stile asked me to vote early.
See,
in an email,
I voted early. I voted early on Saturday, Brian, and I was expecting to walk in, walk out real quick, thinking it was going to be not a huge line because it was Saturday morning, caught it right in the middle of the early voting period allowed at my public library, and man, were there a lot of people there voting early. There were a lot of people in Sun Prairie getting ready to vote early, and so the line was pretty long, and we had to wait. My fiance and I went together. We both cast our in-person absentee ballots, and there were a lot of fired up people in Sun Prairie on Saturday voting early ahead of Tuesday's election. If you look at the early vote breakdown, there's no sign.
Yeah, but
zero sign of a red wave.
Yeah, but you're in Dane County, so none of those votes count anyway. So that's okay.
Well, Robin Voss,
if you throw out Milwaukee and Dane County, I mean, you know, Republicans win all the time.
That's what they say. That's what the Republicans are saying.
I wonder how Waukesha is going to turn out, because you know what? I've seen a lot more Evers signs pop up lately, and my drives home aren't as angst filled. I got to tell you, I'm doing a great job right now. I am not in the hospital.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got State Representative Sarah Rodriguez coming up next, but taking your calls as well, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You're listening to this fine program across civic media here in Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Brian's holding down the fort in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And you're listening across the state on so many other civic media stations. If you want to learn more about what we're doing as a network, go to civicmedia.us to learn more. And Brian, we are joined now by Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor and State Representative Sarah Rodriguez, who is on the road, I believe, between campaign canvas launches. Representative Rodriguez, is that correct?
I am. I just came from Milwaukee. I'm driving out towards Madison, and so happy to be on the show with you guys.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon amongst the final push of getting out the vote before tomorrow's midterm election. I know that there's been a lot said between when the campaigns initially launched and tomorrow. What is your closing final argument for voters that maybe are undecided or just haven't made up their mind of whether or not they will be voters tomorrow in the midterm elections?
Well, here's the thing. We know in Wisconsin that we have really close elections. So every single vote matters. So if you care about your public school, you need to vote for Governor Evers. If you care about reproductive freedoms for women across the state, you need to vote for Governor Evers. If you care about investment in businesses across the state of Wisconsin, we have the lowest unemployment rate we've ever had in the history of the state. We need to do this for four more years. We need to vote for Governor Evers.
Now, Sarah, that's I completely agree, and I am going to go and do so tomorrow. I've made my plan with my fiance, and we're going to have a great time. I suggest everybody finds out where they're going to vote at myvote.wi.gov. Now, I got a question for you. You are your representative right now, and you flipped a lot of votes, and you turned a Trump district into a Democrat voting district for you specifically. Now, when you become lieutenant governor, you're going to become governor, and like we said, these races are very, very close. So you're going to become lieutenant governor for half of a state who did not vote for you. How are you going to be the lieutenant governor for the entire state?
So you're right. So I represent a district, and I live in Waukesha County. And because I live in Waukesha County, and I have traveled all across the state of Wisconsin, I know that there is so much more that unites us than divides us. I have neighbors, I have friends, I have family members who have voted Republican in the past. We've always had really good, solid policy discussions, and that's what Wisconsinites want us to do. They want us to move Wisconsin forward. They want us to work together. So I am honestly looking forward to working with the legislature to make sure that we can do the right thing for Wisconsin.
And you mentioned a couple of facts there about the lowest unemployment rates that Wisconsin's ever had under the current Evers administration. What would a priority for a Evers-Rodriguez administration be in the onset of knowing that if elected to be governor and lieutenant governor, we would still have very divided government here in the state of Wisconsin because of the gerrymandering that occurs in the state legislature? What would be one of the top priorities of the Evers-Rodriguez administration working with a Republican-led legislature in the next session?
Well, we know that all is to invest in our public schools. And Governor Evers has committed to that, investing additional money into our public schools. He's moved our public school system from 18th in the nation under Scott Walker to 8th in the nation under Governor Evers. And so we can continue to invest in our public schools to be able to move us all the way to number one in terms of what Governor Evers can do for Wisconsin. For myself, we want to be able to work on health care to make sure that it's accessible and affordable to everybody. We can still do a Badger Care expansion in Wisconsin, bring billions of dollars of our own money home to be able to invest in things within Wisconsin, to be able to make sure that people can get the care that they need. Those are two main priorities for the Evers-Rodriguez administration.
All right, so now we are coming to the end here. We got like a day left. There's like 30 hours left. Luke and I are already, we're going to leave everything on the table, and you're still going across the state. You're going to leave everything on the table. What's the first thing you're going to do once, win or lose, the campaign is over? What's the first thing that you're going to do? Self-care.
Honestly, I have been putting in 12-hour days all day, every day for quite some time. One, I'm going to take a really big nap. And then number two, I'm going to spend some time with my two kids, they're 13 and 15, and my husband, who have not seen me for the past several weeks. And so those are the kind of things that I'm going to do. But we're going to win. We're going to win tomorrow. I know we are, and that's because people have been making the phone calls. People have been knocking on doors. Every conversation matters. Every vote matters. And people have been working for us all across the state. We're going to get it done tomorrow.
And if there's any listener out there in the listening audience that wants to make a difference over these next less than 30 hours that we have left, what is the final thing that somebody listening to the program today could do to make a difference between now and 8 p.m. tomorrow?
So, number one, if you haven't voted, make sure you're voting tomorrow. Make your plan. Talk to your friends. Don't assume that they've made a plan to vote. Ask them what they're going to do. Let them know how important this election is. If you have some extra time and you've already voted and you want to get people out to the polls, contact your county party, the Democratic County Party. They will get you to be able to knock on doors of folks to make sure that everybody who wants to vote is able to vote, because we know when people in Wisconsin vote, Democrats win.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Representative Rodriguez. That is Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez running with Evers for his reelection bid. We thank you for your time taking it out this afternoon to join us on the program. Best of luck out there, and we'll hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to continue on with the Wisconsin headlines when we get back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us across Civic Media. If you want to learn more, download the Civic Media app to listen to all the fine stations, including Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and Lake Air in Amory. Go to find wherever apps are downloaded on your smartphone. You can go to Google. You can go to the Apple App Store. Download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go, especially if you're like our previous guest, State Representative Sarah Rodriguez, running for Lieutenant Governor on the Democratic ticket. If you're on the road, you can take Civic Media with you wherever you go with the Civic Media app. And if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. And Brian, before we get to the headlines, let's head over back to those phone lines. We've got our friend Dick in Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, you notice I understand Wisconsin in the news big time, and it's kind of interesting. Pennsylvania, Ohio, nonstop. But there's another pickup right next door here that looks like could happen, and you hear nothing about it. Iowa seems maybe poised to get rid of that bazillion-year-old Morphidite they've had for a senator forever. And the national media pays no attention. Local outlets in Wisconsin. I don't understand why it hasn't been followed at all, but I'm hearing that he's in trouble. Hopefully he is, and a pickup's a pickup. I don't care if it's in Ohio or where it is.
Well, I honestly, Dick, I got a couple thoughts about this. I have a feeling that for a lot of candidates, at least there's very red trending areas over recent years, and Iowa was one of those. And so there were a lot of people that got their hopes up in 2020 around trying to unseat Mitch McConnell with Amy McGrath. There was a lot of excitement around that, and it fell short. There was a lot of excitement in North Carolina and in Maine trying to unseat candidates there. Susan Collins is still a senator, even though there was pretty good shot for a pickup in Maine in 2020. And so I have a feeling there was maybe a little bit of some backtracking from those more optimistic districts, if you were hopeful that the candidate would swing that state. But Kansas showed us this cycle that when the ballot referendum to protect abortion rights was in front of voters in a conservative state like Kansas, there was a shocking support for it. And I'm not saying that directly translates to a candidate per se, rather than a ballot referendum. But in Iowa, it sounds like Franken may have a chance against Grassley. And honestly, it's something I'm keeping an eye on, but I just don't know if anybody wants to get their hopes up around that race.
But now, the other one you brought up from 2 years ago, I can remember Lindsey Graham almost in tears on like Meet the Press or one of those type of weekend shows, and he was crying about the National Party not sending money there, and he was actually down in the polls or in a dead heat, and then suddenly he wins going away. You know, maybe we should have contested that like they like to. How did that all of a sudden happen?
I don't know. Jamie Harrison ran a very interesting campaign in South Carolina against Senator Lindsey Graham. But I truly believe, Dick, the answer isn't just contesting every close election that you say maybe polling got wrong, because that's not democracy. Only accepting results when you win isn't the answer.
No, I understand, but I understand that's their game plan. Yeah. But no, this Iowa thing, I really find it intriguing, and I'm going to keep an eye on it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's absolutely something that I think everybody should be keeping pretty close on their radar. I just don't know if it's necessarily one of those instances where polling may be signaling that there's something there when it's actually not there. Because the state of Iowa, since Barack Obama was elected president, has been trending consistently towards Republicans, not staying as a swing battleground state as it had been in the past.
Keep in mind, though, in a lot of these races, especially when somebody is, you know, even going to lose for whatever reason, you know, they it's just too red for them to even overcome. But it's important to contest those races. It's important to run a candidate in those races, yeah, because you help up and down the ballot as well. So
I'm not saying that in those tough to win races, the candidates and good quality candidates should be running in those races. I'm just saying if you're keeping an eye on where the nation is going to be going, I think there's better indicators earlier in the night than per se Iowa, because it's in the central time zone. We're going to be getting a lot of the same Wisconsin results. Hopefully, I mean, if Iowa is not sending Grassley back to the U.S. Senate and instead sending Franken to the U.S. Senate, I'm very optimistic that Mandela Barnes will defeat Ron Johnson here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I don't see a world where Chuck Grassley doesn't win re-election and Ron Johnson does. Like, to me, elections are conducted by a state-by-state race. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying, Brian, that I wouldn't see it to be likely. That's all.
Well...
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share your tangent, if you got any final predictions before tomorrow's midterm elections, you want to share them, or if you just got a separate tangent you want to chime in with, 844-967-2789, you can call or text. Going back to the phone lines, we got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, mine is the same point. I think that the Democrats, you know, missed their opportunity and I don't know why they failed to do it, is that they're afraid it was going to be playing politics. But every single one of the insurrectionists that participated in the fake electors thing should have been, their hide should have been nailed to the wall. Just indict them. I mean, that the Republicans would have had, if something on the other shoe would have happened like that, the Republicans would have no difficulty at all simply indicting those people. I mean, people have been indicted for far, far less egregious offenses. I mean, Don Siegelman was down in Georgia of Alabama, who appointed somebody to an unelected, unpaid position, and was sent to to federal prison for that. Where these guys actually attempted, including somebody on our elections commission, attempted to usurp the democratic process in the state of Wisconsin, which is, you know, just as egregious.
Robert Spindell,
in its own way, as the insurrectionists on January 6th, why every single one of those people upon their exit of that building on that day was not arrested. Every single person inside the perimeter that they'd set up, which would included Van Orden, should have been arrested. I mean, he was beyond the point where he should have been. I mean, it baffles me because I don't know why there was the timidity or reticence to go after these people, because in my opinion, justice demands it, that these guys violated the law and should be held to account. I mean, it is just ridiculous that Ron Johnson admitted, he came out and admitted he handled those fake elector things. He came in contact.
Come on, Mark, It's a non-story. And by the way, I gotta take this phone call real quick. Hang on. Yeah, it is absolutely disqualifying, in my opinion, for somebody that either tried to play a role or had involvement in the January 6th plot to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power here in the United States. They should be on the ballot again. I wish that there was better
to worry about it now.
Right, I was going to say, I wish there were better circumstances to be able to remedy that, but that's not the case. These people are Derek Van Orden, Ron Johnson, candidates around the country are going to be receiving votes tomorrow and people have already voted for him. And so the way to be able to respond to that now is at the ballot box.
Yeah,
there was not a mechanism in place to be able to address it before then.
You're not gonna reason your way through these folks.
No.
I mean, the guy actually said,
"So Obamacare is still in place, and we've doubled the debt. I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful."
And they're still like, "Yeah, that's my guy."
Yeah, and
so
I mean, he
you're
also
not gonna get through.
He swore that he wouldn't run for more than two terms, and he's breaking that promise as well.
And they're all like, "Yeah, that's my guy."
Yeah, that's their guy. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, be like Mark or Dick, 844-967-2789. But Brian, we've got some new reporting out as well that shows that if you want to talk about a track record to run on, maybe not participating in the insurrection, but say actually delivering for the people of Wisconsin, there's one individual out there in particular that has done a pretty good job on delivering for Wisconsinites when it comes to ensuring that our state economy rebounded from the worst pandemic that we've had in this nation in more than 100 years. And
despite having one of his hands tied behind his back and both of his legs,
despite having a legislature
nailed to the floor
that would not, you know, do any work from the months of April, May, June, or July in any even ended year. In 2020 and in 2022, the Republican-led legislature didn't do any work in April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and maybe they'll do something in December. I don't know what kind of special session they got, because they did do something in December of 2018.
It'll depend on who wins the it becomes the governor again.
Exactly.
So if Evers the governor again, they may have a special session to remove his powers again.
Well, then they wouldn't be able to do it without the signing off of the former Governor Scott Walker like they did in 2018. So hopefully any attempt like that.
They'll probably make one of those special sessions like, we're opening a special session under the Walker administration to be retroactive for the last 2 years, which then is retroactive, meaning that he's unconstitutional and now Tony Evers can't be the governor.
I would not put it past
that's a Gableman reasoning right there.
That is Gableman, and it's so upsetting.
Let's make a rule now to retroactively.
Let's try to do it. You know, the session doesn't end when we say it, and it's only if we have an absence like Fred Pren over here on the Natural Resources Board too. But these are a couple side tangents from the main story here. That
do you think they'll reference the multiverse?
I hope so, because then you know I would read the whole thing through. But
then
I'd point all the plot holes through that too. But this story,
let's talk
Brian,
about the economy.
Wisconsin allocated more federal pandemic relief to the economy than any other state. State grant programs aim to empower local communities to find solutions. You know that party of local control, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That state is Wisconsin. The governor, Tony Evers, Democratic Governor Tony Evers, delivered more for the economy, more pandemic relief to the economy than any other state, Brian.
Now, this isn't just handing people out money. This isn't just blindly staying there. This is specifically investing in local small business.
This isn't a manufacturers and agriculture's tax cut that, you know, just magically gets used predominantly by millionaires to reduce their tax burden at the cost of Wisconsin revenues. No, this is actual tangible results that took the millions of dollars that we received from the federal government and directed it to the areas that needed it the most to ensure that Wisconsin's economy not only recovered from the immediate needs of the COVID-19 pandemic, but also was set up for success for the long haul as well. And
worth noting that by the end of the Walker administration, we were dead last for entrepreneurial growth. Dead last for entrepreneurial growth during the Walker administration in the closing years before the pandemic. Just wanted to say once again that during the final years of the Walker administration, dead last for entrepreneurial growth.
And this article,
I want to inform that before we're going forward.
It is. I think that is important. Comparison, Brian. It's good for comparison. But this article written up by Joe Schultz over at Wisconsin Public Radio, referencing a study done by the Center on Budget and Policy. The study found that nearly 56% of Wisconsin's ARPA funds, that's the American Rescue Plan Act funds, were spent to promote the economy, which equates to about $1.1 billion. The next closest state allocated only 38% for economic development. So almost 20 percentage points more of the funds received went to economic development here in the state of Wisconsin compared to any other state in the nation, Brian. But Republicans are still running those ads saying, you know, Tim Michaels, he's gonna fix the economy. Right?
That money could have gone to Tim Michaels Corp instead.
It could have. I mean, the last $1 billion investment that Republicans promoted here in the state of Wisconsin worked out really well for Tim Michaels, hasn't worked out for the rest of the state, and you can just take a look at what Foxconn's done, well, not done, on not delivering on the contract with the former Walker administration down in southeastern Wisconsin. So I feel like we're going to talk about this a little bit more and get to some more phone calls, maybe. 844-967-2789. But more economic development aid than any other state in the nation under the Evers administration here in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, we got one more segment left for Dueling Tangents this afternoon. Before you make a plan to vote tomorrow, 844-967-2789.
Be a billionaire so freaking bad, buy all of the things I never had.
Just so you know, give you a little bit of perspective. If you take the cash out on the Powerball, right?
Yeah.
You'd still not be a billionaire.
No, I feel like if you
no, it's 900, it's like 900 million.
I was just saying it's 900 some million, because I was asking a friend about it this week, so, and I was close. Like, is it worth it?
But fortunately, the best way to make a bunch of money is to already have a bunch of money and then invest it, and then eventually you'll, you know, magically have more money by not doing anything.
Or you can marry into it.
Transfer accounts and sending.
You can marry into it contracts. Or be born into it as well. Those are ways to do it. Or you can have a front row seat like everybody that's currently using the social media platform Twitter. You can watch somebody lose $1 billion or so.
yeah, that's true. Just to be clear, you can't do it by working hard.
Oh, no. There's
no,
there's
not a chance.
No way.
Just wanted to say that.
No. There's absolutely no possible way, because you could be a millionaire and invest it. Well, I guess the investment would be the only way to do it, because I'm telling you, there's no way to work and earn $1 billion through your work. It's all through investment or acquisitions.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
The scale of $1 billion is nearly unfathomable.
Yeah, it's true. And so
why don't you keep going on this economic thing? I'm going to get you a stat in just a minute.
You go pull the stat. I know, but it is absolutely one of those things where you hear the top line number of what the Powerball is up to, and you're just like, wow, maybe if it's a little higher, I'd go buy some tickets. Like, I don't know what because I'm not really a lottery kind of guy. I don't know if you're buying yourself some Powerball tickets, Brian, but I even at that amount, I'm not like, yeah, let me go buy a ticket real quick and try to see if I can win the whole thing, because the lottery is just not something that I'm playing. I don't know about you, but it is, to me, I don't know if there's a number that I'd be like, yeah, let me go buy a lotto ticket, because I just know that the chances are astronomically low to be able to win. So folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. As Brian pulls those lottery stats, well, let's head over to the phone lines. We got our friend Jeannie in Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what's up this fine Monday afternoon?
I hope everybody gets out to vote. But first of all, I want to thank all of you guys at Civic Media, priorly in Devil's Advocate, and I mean, it's still part of it, but I want to thank you guys, all the research, all the hard work you've done, all the hard work Brian Stein, the people that work on your phones, all of your shows, and all of your outstanding callers. It has made life a lot easier watching what's going on in our country and in our state of Wisconsin by you guys showing the light, leading the way, and giving us the opportunity to share our feelings and what we've learned. And it's just been a comfort and just a delight. And thank you guys so much, because you are outstanding, all of you. And you all are unique in your shows, And we're just blessed to have you in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you guys so much. And I'm not looking forward to the results right away. I'm kind of not going to be watching till I get the end results. So thanks a lot, guys. And keep up the great work you do.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. And we appreciate fine calls like yourself as well. And if you want to tune in for that post-election coverage, once all the votes are in and beginning to be counted, you can tune into Civic Media, download the Civic Media app. We'll be doing special election night coverage beginning at 7 p.m. tomorrow until the top of the ticket races are called. So it could be going anywhere from midnight to 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. You can tune in for the Civic Media team. We'll be covering all the races around the state of Wisconsin.
All over the state. Local coverage all over the state.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really excited to be able to put on that coverage tomorrow night. And it's I think, pretty vital to be able to have local coverage because there's not really any other outlets out there, Brian, that are doing what Civic Media will be doing tomorrow night.
And the unique part about Civic Media, which is really cool, is that if you have the Civic Media app, you can go and bounce between stations to station to see what's going on in different areas. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Although tomorrow it'll be all the same because we're going to be
tomorrow bouncing. Night at least. Yes.
Tomorrow night we'll be bouncing for you. But like on any given day, you can just bounce between different areas and see what the, because we have different news in different stations. We have different weather up in different areas. You can go anywhere you want with Civic Media. Now I have the stat for you to compare $1 million versus $1 billion.
Let's hear it.
If you had $1 million and spent $1,000 a day, you would run out in about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion, if you spend $1,000 a day, you would last 2,740 years.
Almost three centuries. Not quite.
Okay, so 1 million seconds is 11 days.
Okay.
1 billion seconds, 32 years. That's the difference.
That's the difference. 11 days versus 32 years. Just to put it in perspective.
So Michael Bloomberg, very rich person, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could walk up to 60,000 people and hand them each $1 million in cash. And he would still have enough to give an extra 1,000 people $2.5 million each.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to give you one more stat before we round it out. A couple things here. Average CEO salary of like a real big company, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Fortune 500 company.
$10 million, last I checked. Now, if you take $1 million, what's the difference between making $9 million and $10 million at the end of the day? I think either of us would take either.
Correct.
Take $1 million, you can give 100 workers a $5 raise for an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So you could go from $10 an hour for your entire staff to $15 an hour, or take your staff and give them all a $5 raise, 100 people for $1 million for a whole year.
Yeah. That would make the difference. That would make a huge difference.
Think about.
That would make a huge difference in the lives of those workers as well. Those workers making potentially $10 an hour.
So when people talk about being job creators or, being in the investor class or things like that, I want to hear them brag about how well off their employees are and how well off their lowest employee is. Not their highest employee, not their, my son who I pay has made really some great strides.
You don't want to hear about those Greenwich mansions?
Yeah, no. I want to hear about how what you've done for the lowest of your employees. Because again, you're running on we're a Christian nation ticket type of crap. Maybe you should go and say things like, hey, look, I took care of the least of my people. No? Can't run on policy because you've been in charge of the whole, state for the last 10 years. Got no policies to go and run on because you're running on fear instead.
They airdropped in a candidate from Connecticut instead, Brian.
Happy election tomorrow, guys.
It's election eve, folks. Make sure you get out. Make a plan to vote. Be a voter tomorrow. Go to myvote.wi.gov. If you miss any portion of this show, go to civicmedia.us. You can check out all the shows like Dueling Tangents, As Goes Wisconsin, The Devil's Advocates. You can hear all the podcasts. And we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. for Election Day coverage for Dueling Tangents 2 to 3 and special event coverage beginning at 7. Talk to you then.
I wanna be a billionaire, so freaking bad.